Miami, 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 Miami,
it feels like Miami.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Heat Beat Podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Navas, and with me today, I feel like we have, if we were to check our lineup stats on this lineup for an MHB podcast, it would have 0 minutes, which makes me very excited because this is like that secret lineup that like everybody asks the coach to play, but they never play. But finally, it gets busted out, right? There's no film on it. We're ready to terrorize. On the left of me, if you're watching on twitch.tv/MIAHeatBeat, and if you're a podcast listener, I always implore you to check out the Twitch chat. Also, if you're a YouTube viewer, you want to catch us live, what are you doing? We tweet out the links on MIA Heatbeat, our schedule and everything. So check us out on Twitter so you can know when we go live. The great Tiffany Meeks.
Hello, hello, hello.
How you doing, Tiff?
I'm good. How are you, G?
We're doing good. It's a nice day. It's there's sun out while we're doing a pod. I always like that. It's always nice to have some sun.
I got rain.
You got rain? Mm-hmm. It rained here pretty bad last night.
Could use some rain.
Yeah.
That voice you hear on the bottom of the screen, the one and only Siobhan. What's up?
Hey, G. Hey, Tiff.
What's going on? What's up?
How are we doing? Tiff, they missed you on hangover time last night.
Yeah. The first couple of minutes had me screaming in the car.
Oh, yeah. For those of you who don't know, the drink that Brass chose was a Negroni. And it was a sad state that Tiff wasn't there to poke fun at poor Brass.
I tried it for you. I brought it up. I started it for you.
Yeah, you did. Yeah, you did. Yo, this is the fast break lineup.
Oh, man.
We might get a layup out of this.
Oh, come on. Let's get it.
Let's get it, G.
In transition.
Let's go. So we have a couple things to get to. I'm actually really excited for the show. So we haven't done a pod. We've done hangover times. We haven't done like an MHB proper since before the Laker game. That was on a Thursday, and we don't do pods over the weekend. So this is our first chance for me to react to the Oladipo stuff. And real quick, I mean, there's been a lot of reporting going around, and I know that he's waiting on a second opinion, and it might be shin splints. And there was a kind of a weird article that Barry put out today that, you know, the Heat kind of put out there that it's a pain tolerance thing, which brought me kind of Justice Winslow flashbacks and how they kind of framed his injury. Now, if you remember, he had that concussion in Denver, which is kind of funny, like we're staring at playing in Denver in a couple of days, the parallels. So Justice had the concussion and never came back in. And then there was a kind of some media leaks of, you know, the pain tolerance and this and that. So that was something interesting to me. But I think ultimately, and Tiff, maybe, I don't know how you feel about this. Like, I think if they get Vic back, like in some sort of at least even a 70% capacity, that would be like a surprise.
Yeah, I also think that if he's 70%, he shouldn't come back.
He might want to because of the contract year, and that might be a decision that the organization might
have
to make for him.
Well, I think he needs to be smarter than that because if he's at 70%, that means he's at a 90% risk chance of getting injured, right? Like, he's not healthy if he's 70%. And to be honest, I don't think he's 70%. So why would you risk any future earnings based on the rest of the season?
It's
like, you know, it's like you got to go if you got to sit it out and get healthy, sit it out and get healthy, because there's always going to be a need for a healthy guard like Vic.
Yeah.
That's it.
He plays defense. Yeah. At that position, that's
look at how he was playing when he got injured. Look at that game from start until the point where he got injured. He was a dog on both ends of the court. There's always a team that needs that man. So I wouldn't, if I'm him and I'm less than 90%, and even 90% is pushing it with the injuries that he's had. So let's be honest. Go ahead, Siobhan.
And that's the thing, the injuries he's had, right? Like, it's not even he's at a fresh 70%. This is him. This would be him trying to hope to get back to 70 after having come off of big injuries. And, you know, and this would be, you know, in the most ramped up part of the year. Like, this is, you know, the final stretch where we're trying to, you know, push and get into round off into playoff shape, right? So if he's, you know, struggling to get to 70, which is a little bit of a diminished 70 because of his injury history, and it's the, you know, the grittiest, you know, stretch of the season, I don't think it's worth it. I think, you know, like Tiff said, there is always going to be a need for a Vic style guy. If he can just be an approximation of himself, which we saw him rounding out, you know, to be, he was getting downhill. The defense was there from the first game. So I think it would be very short-sighted of him to, you know, try to force himself through a discomfort, the particular type of discomfort that I think he's, you know, actually dealing with.
And let's also remember the organization that we're kind of talking about, right? And I don't remember if this was in reference to Winslow or Hassan when somebody in the Heat leaked out, he's no Udonis, right? Because UD and Zoe and these guys set kind of a standard of playing through pain that, while, you know, the warrior mentality and all that, there's, you know, merit and credit to those guys who really pushed through and made the decision for their bodies, right? Because they knew, right? And I think that they might expect that out of other dudes. And everyone's not, you know, Dwayne Wade, who has a cachet to say, yeah, I'm not playing these games because I'm Wade and I don't want to, right? So I kind of worry the organization from that. But they've shown in the past, like with Chris Bosh, they really made the decision for him when he wanted to get back on the court. They're like, no, this is dangerous. You're not doing this.
Yeah. Right.
So, you know, you just got to hope that the organization and Vic make the best decisions for him. But I want to kind of pivot to how this affects them and not too much, because we've talked about this on the various MHB platforms. And, you know, I think we all have, we've all been taked to death by Oladipo. But my biggest thing was, okay, well, all eyes on Goran Dragic now. Right. Like, I think Dragic becomes their most important player because we know we're going to get out of Jimmy and Bam. Right. Like, that's not a question mark. We know, if anything, you know, we can expect maybe a little more out of Jimmy. You know, maybe the cape has to come on every game in the playoffs. And Bam, I think, you know, we kind of know what he is. But Dragic, for them to reach a level that they can, you know, I think kind of the finals is out of the picture at this point. But if you want to win a round or two in the playoffs, I think it's going to come down to, can Dragic find whatever's left in his tank? Because I don't think there's a lot.
Yeah.
Can he find what's left and give them a 3-week stretch? Well, not even what he was last playoffs, but give him a 3-week stretch where he can hit some threes and create some action downhill in isolation and using a screen. And their season, I think, is going to rely on that.
And I'm gonna say, I actually think it relies on Hero.
Interesting, yeah.
And I had someone else different too. Go ahead with you.
I just don't know what Goran's going to do at this point. I honestly don't know what's left.
That's fair.
And you know, you hope he got that reserve tank somewhere, but it's going to be hard for him to get healthy at this point. If he's going to play minutes, there is no rest, because as we see with this team, there's no rest. So I don't know when and if he's going to get healthy. So I honestly think that reliance should go out the window, and anything that he gives is extra.
Yep.
I think at this point, if you're going to bring Tyler off the bench as a sixth man, he's got to step up his scoring. He's got to bring those turnovers down. And he's going to have to, you know, keep doing what he did last night and go forward with his positional defense.
Yeah. Tiff, to your point, do you want to guess what the Heat's second most used action is?
What is it?
Tyler Hero pick and roll.
There you go.
Yeah. More than Duncan handoff, more than Duncan catch and shoot, more than Dragic pick and roll, and shockingly more than Bam as a roll man. Hero pick and roll is their second most used action.
Yeah, it's because he can't create space, so he needs that. Oh no, that's what it is. And no, so
you're right.
So all right, so G, you said Goran, Tiff, you said Tyler. I agree with you, Tiffany, about why it can't be Goran for all those exact reasons. I think that dependency, that reliance, truthfully, should have been out the window from the organizational standpoint at the start of the season. He shouldn't have been someone that we were literally reliant on production. Everything that he gave us or has been able to give us should have been looked at from the onset of the season as gravy, right?
Right.
Sprinkles and cherries. I'm gonna say Kendrick. I think that because he's going to have to be in that starting point guard role. And because we've seen him do it, and I think he looks a little bit more settled now, I think there's going to be a little bit, and there should be a little bit reliance on him to have a little bit more consistent offensive impact. But he also has to, you know, fight and maintain that the effort that we, you know, saw all of them play with last game defensively. But Tyler would have been my second person. But I think an effective Kendrick Nunn helps them. I don't know that he gives them quite what we, you know, think the name Vic gives us, and you know, hope that he would have been able to give us. Hopefully he still can, but I think he still gives them something that, you know, they need.
I don't disagree with the Tyler thing. I think depending on Kendrick is asking to find gold in a place where there's no gold. I think that he might give you a 5-game stretch where he's awesome, but I think history will kind of show that more likely than not, it's not who he is over the now. If they can find that, that'd be different, but I wouldn't bet on that.
But why I didn't say Tyler is because while he's been a little up and down here a bit, I think he has been fairly steady in what has been needed to have come out of him. I think for me, you know, since he was moved to the bench, there have been peaks and valleys in that, you know, along this stretch, but I think, I think he's been pretty much where he's going to be. I am asking Kendrick to kind of give me a little bit more, not, you know, 18 and 8, you know, or anything like that, but, you know, 12 and 5. I don't know. Just like give me something respectable.
I agree with that. And that's kind of why I wouldn't go Tyler, because I think he's been who he is. I think he has the most variance in terms of being, as Eric Reed likes to say, ignitable.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of what he adds, because we haven't seen him. Although he's been shooting the ball well since trade deadline, Tyler.
But you need the thing about it is that if you're saying to me, we don't know what we're going to get from Goran night in and night out, someone other than Jimmy and other than Bam has to score. They have to. You can't rely on 8 people every night to be in double figures.
Yeah.
Someone has to be that reliable third consistent scorer who can score on all 3 levels.
Yeah.
Someone.
Yeah.
So
that's what they miss with Goran, because last year that's what.
But
he
that's
was.
The whole point. So yeah, Goran can't do it. I honestly think Tyler can do it. Now, can he stay on the court because of his defensive lack of prowess is a different question.
Right.
But I think he can do it. And here's the other thing. Let's be honest. If you can't rely on someone, why the hell are they on the team?
Why are they here? Yeah. Yeah, no. I'm not asking you to go move mountains, but I'm asking you to do your job to do. Who's a mismatch?
No, I'm saying like they have like a mismatch of
guys
that you can't rely
random
on.
Random assortment
night.
Of players.
They do. Who,
you pick a name out of a hat.
Who at best help fill in each other's holes, but still have their own holes present.
Right.
I mean, other than Jimmy and Bam, I mean, it's really rush. And I think Duncan has been. I guess prior to the trade deadline, you could have said he was kind of in that no-show list. But I think since then, he's been pretty consistently.
Yeah,
but I think after Jimmy and Bam, it's like
it's not that he's a no-show, but he's not. He's
affecting the game enough.
Yeah, you know what you're going to get. Like you could say, all right, I'm going to get anywhere between 3 to 6 threes a night, right?
Mm-hmm.
But when you're wide open for that mid-range shot, I need you to hit it.
Yes.
And not force that pass underneath to Bam when he's not ready, or not kick it back out to Jimmy when he's not in a good position to even shoot the ball. Like, we need you to hit that mid-range.
You're wide open shots. I need you to knock those down. You are a goddamn marksman with 6 hands in your face.
Right.
But like the couple times you do get a clean look, I need you to tighten stuff like that up. Not
he's
big
taken
things.
He's taken 1 mid-range shot since the trade deadline.
No.
But he they're there. It.
He's taken like a lot of layups.
Yes.
And he's taken one mid-range shot.
But it's there. It's there it for is him there. Every single it night.
Is. I'm not What's mad the, at him.
I'm sorry. He's taken two.
And he's just there passing out of it. Do you know what their like best, what's their best offensive lineup is?
That varies because they've played so many, right, lineups, so many lineups that they have no consistency. Mm-hmm. It was the starting lineup of like Olynyk with Bam, Jimmy, I think Dragic and Duncan. I think that was the best one. But it's, I do think like, so their offense has been 13th since the trade deadline.
Yeah, that's
which
the
I think
I
is
heard
promising
during the game yesterday or whatever the game was.
Which is good. And kind of going back to Goran, you know, that has been buoyed by Tyler and Duncan. Like, I think specific because like Jimmy's not really doing much else. If anything, like, you know, Jimmy had a really good game against the Blazers. And I don't, Tiff, do you feel like that was a laboring performance from Jimmy? I felt like that was pretty easy.
No. And that's what you want. You want him to have the next, how many games are there, 20 left? Something like that.
Something like that.
So you want him to have like 15 games where he can kind of set up tempo, but coast throughout the game and pepper the ball around and let Bam get into his mid range and then let him get into his fadeaway, hit Duncan with, you know, some threes. Like, you want Jimmy to coast these next however many games. So realistically, if Nunn is starting, he's got to get into double figures every night. Like, I know it sounds crazy, G, but he has to.
You gotta ask him to.
That's what
their aspirations are, what they are, then you gotta count on him to do, you know, what big boy shit, you know?
Yep. Big boy shit. That's somebody, what I'm asking.
Player attacker 999 says vibe and survive. Am I right? It's kind of a funny way to put it, but yeah.
And when Jimmy's able to put up, not these laboring or not having to labor, you know, through these games, we kind of see what he's able to do for his offense, right? Like, his jump shot looked so technically sound, like so sturdy, so his legs were up under him. Cool, I'll save that.
I have a whole thing about that. I want to pivot real quick. I do want to kind of close with the Goran thing. They've gone to 13th since the trade deadline. And their defense has slipped a little bit, and I think that's a product of kind of playing more Tyler and Duncan because they're playing better on offense. So, you know, that's a trade-off that you're always going to take, but I think the defense has still been really good, and they've played a lot of really good offensive teams. But so they've gone up to 13th with their shooting kind of coming back, and Ariza still is not where you think he can be. So let's just say Ariza gets to a place where he's like a decent shooter and not in the mid-20s. What's left is somebody who can create in pick and roll and put pressure on the rim. And Kendrick is not that guy. He can do a lot of things on the court, but he can't self-create off that unless like it's like off secondary or third actions. Dragic is the only guy that they have other than Jimmy and Oladipo that can legit ISO, pick and roll, get to the cup, and has a threat of the step back. And Tiff, I'm with you. I don't know if that guy ever plays basketball again, like that version of him. I don't know. And I think it's a safe bet to say no, but he provides them the pillar of offense that they need to get back to a place where you're like, oh, they're dangerous. Not title good, because a lot has gone wrong for them this season. Survive and vibe, right? But he really gives them that extra pillar of their offense that they just have not had. And I was kind of, you know, not to take a shot at the great Zach Lowe, but I kind of did not like on his podcast with Doris Burke, which, by the way, I'm like a huge Doris Burke stan. Listen to that podcast. It's like incredible. And just to hear somebody love basketball as much as she does, as smart as she is, it's just a delight when people like that cover our sport. I love it. But Lowe said they're missing Jay Crowder a lot. And I feel like that's been the national narrative because it's the easiest thing to point to.
Right.
Yeah.
But I'm like, I think they've gotten enough out of that position, and their defense has been awesome.
Yeah.
And maybe their shooting has suffered, and he really provides that and as a kind of a secondary handoff guy when they try to hide centers on him. But the Dragic thing to me is the biggest story for them.
Right.
Like, that's what they've lost.
Well, I think because you know, everybody overlooks what he means to them on the court. Let's just be honest. Everybody overlooks Goran and his value to them on the court. I think personally, like the fact that is true, where they miss Jay more than anything is his toughness. They miss that. And it's evident when they play, like the Goberts and the big guys underneath, mm-hmm. like it's his toughness they miss, because since we've made a few moves and things have slowed down, the offense is fine. Mm-hmm. And Ariza and Iggy and anybody else that's filling in and doing all those things, they're giving you the combination of the offense that you got from Jay. Mm-hmm. But it's that toughness that is solely missed underneath that basket next to Bam.
Yeah. And I think
Bitcoin 97 chat says Miami needs a dog. And yeah. to Siobhan's point, that's what you've said all year.
Yeah.
Like literally that exact phrase.
Yeah, no, we've been needing some dogs. Jimmy's the only, we got like one and a half and a dog with a bag.
We got a dog and some puppies.
You know, some little babies. Yeah,
happy National Pet Day.
Happy puppy heats. No, Tiff is absolutely right. The combination of what you've been able to generate out of an Ariza and your Iggy's, and even to an extent, you know, when Kelly was here, you know, Kelly had his limitations, but he, like it or not, and it may be, you know, we just don't want to like it, but you point this out all the time, like they were a better team with Kelly Olynyk on the floor. And so we've gotten enough, I think, you know, over the stretch to say that whatever Jay was giving us offensively has been, you know, accounted for. Toughness, absolutely. Some grit, some doggedness about them. And, you know, that's not really a quantifiable skill, but it's absolutely, you know, it's noticeable. Like, you know, we see what it looks like. Times where, you know, I've called the team gutless. That's the type of things I'm talking about. You know, like we get pushed around a lot. But, you know, I would disagree that, you know, at least at this point in this season, maybe we did a while ago,
right,
but
right.
I would disagree that at this point in the season, you know, Jay That's, Crowder
is not the reason.
I miss DJ more than I miss Jay.
So do I.
Damn.
Yeah.
That's
so do I. As
I love DJ.
Because he could lock down a guard.
He had an energy. A motor.
Life,
springy, shot blocking.
I was anti-DJ.
We know why do I feel like you were and I didn't.
Yeah. Why do you think I'm anti DJ? I think it's an obvious thing,
it's
but why do you
he can't shoot?
There's two reasons why I'm anti DJ. One of them is why I can't shoot. What's the other reason?
Is he skinny?
Is it because he's
late in games, bigger guys use him like a rag. And I'll never forget it was
no, hold on, he's wait. Skinny. So yes, because so, he's skinny.
Yeah, we talk about size and like he has like the length.
Yes.
And that's why he can like kind of switch onto a guard and you'll survive.
Yep.
But like I and he could jump over anybody. But yep. I remember against the Lakers and against the Clippers in Miami, late in games in both times, he had to box out for a rebound. And God bless his soul, he tried.
He was young. Listen. Shit. I remember this season at the fucking at the Lakers, he stuffed LeBron twice and was good but money see, with it.
I'm happy for him.
The
I'm key, happy. For I am,
the
I'm
key to what you too. Said, G, is he tried.
He tried.
He did.
Because
we can watch some of our players not try.
Yeah.
And the rebound goes right past him. So he tried. But back to what you were saying.
Somebody said my takes are crap. I agree.
if there's no Vic and Goran isn't some sort of carbon copy of what he was.
Yeah.
You know, there's trouble in the small town.
They have a lot to replace and they don't really have good options. And that's why I think a lot of the year has been us discussing which is their best bad option,
you know,
which is their best suboptimal option.
Yeah.
Because they've really, and then Vic was supposed to be the guy. It's like, okay, we fixed it. And I feel bad for him, like just like on a personal note, like the dude wanted to be here so badly. And if he doesn't play another game for them because of his injury, I think it's probably unlikely they keep him.
Yeah.
I think for sure they renounce his cap hold, which means that they can't sign him over the cap, and they're going to be maneuvering in a tight situation. So he may like have played four games here and that's it, which sucks because he's clearly wanted to be here. It looked like he was happy and he was kind of finding his footing, and that just really sucks. I don't want to make the show too doom and gloom. I haven't talked Vic on the pod, and it's just something I've been wanting to do. So Siobhan brought this up earlier. Jimmy's jump shot has been such a difference.
He looks good right now.
He's shooting like in his last like 10 games or whatever. He's like at 50% from mid range, killing dudes. Remember how like we were questioning last season, like, does he have the wrist? Is the wrist still bothering him? Is he getting lift? No questions about that this season. He's even taking more threes, which I like.
Yes.
He's not just like ignoring that part of the game. Right. And he'll take them, which I think is good for him. Yes. Also kind of gets him in a rhythm, you know, forces guys to stay honest. But I mean, the stuff that he's doing in the post on the turnarounds, I really like when he really gets to his spots. And that to me is like, okay, my guy's revving up for the playoffs when he has to mismatch hunt and he gets one of these smaller dudes on him and let's go. It's the torture chamber because he's a physical, strong, I don't even want to call him a power wing, but he's like at that line where he's just going to bully smaller dudes completely. Yeah. I mean, we saw it in the playoffs. I mean, poor George Hill. I mean, he's still probably in an ice bath from what Jimmy did in the playoffs. And Siobhan, like for me, that is such... That wasn't their last regular season. And if he's going to be like an elite mid-range shooter, I feel a little bit different about this team.
Yep. So, oh God, you just said so many things. Yes, I agree.
I'm sorry.
No. It's perfectly fine. I love it all. So yes, I agree with the last thing where you left off at. Yeah. If he can find this level of consistency through the rest of, you know, the rest of the regular season, it does make me personally also, change a little bit how I feel about, you know, maybe this team's potential. I think you're right. We didn't see this type or this maybe ease in his offense at this juncture of the season last season. You know, of course, he rounded off into playoff Jimmy, but he seems to be trying to get into a little bit of a lather here a little bit earlier. I think maybe he understands, you know, what is going to, you know, maybe be asked of him again, and God bless his soul.
Pacing himself.
Yeah, but you're absolutely right, man. Like, it's the way he's kind of been diversifying the, you know, his shot taking portfolio. Like, he's getting, you know, all three levels. He's not a prolific long range shooter by any stretch, but it is important that he takes them. And the ones that he's taking, you know, his legs are fully under him. His shoulders and his body posture up in his upper body is spectacular. His fucking body control is incredible. I tweeted about that the other day. Top three body control in the whole league. Debate the muscles you can't find. Like he's awesome. And he's strong, he's physical, but he isn't, like you said, not wanting to call him like a power or anything, but he just plays with a level of just toughness because his body is constituted in a way that it can take it.
He's a bully.
So, yes.
Yeah.
He's a bully in the best
sense. He's a positional bully. Yep.
Yeah. But in the best sense possible, he's a bully. Yeah. And that's what you can watch him play and know he's not as gifted as like a KD, you know, but let's be realistic. If physicality came into play, physically, KD is not giving you the same thing Jimmy's giving you.
Right.
You know, and the one thing people just don't talk about is that this man is dragging everybody on this team with him. It's no player left behind. He's got confidence in every single player on that bench when they go in the game. And that's like, we can talk about what he did in the finals. We can talk about his shooting. We can talk about all those things. But those players are playing well because he believes in them.
Yeah.
Like that. And people don't talk about that enough.
Yeah, he's infectious.
He's such a willing off-ball player too to help those other dudes. Like, for a guy, and it's very Wade-esque, for a guy that's not a good like three-point shooter or catch-and-shoot guy, the way he affects the game off ball for his teammates is just, it's huge. Mm-hmm. Like, a superstar is doing mm-hmm. that, right? Like, who mm-hmm. can't shoot.
Right.
He's like, I think we've said it before, Siobhan. He's sheer power of will.
Because he understands that he can't shoot. So yeah. He knows his game. He's not one of these dudes that's trying to be anything other than who he is, because right. being who he is has gotten him to exactly. where he is now. And with the respect and, you know, with the love of the organization that he, you know, feels for too. And so there's no, you're not really getting any bullshit in his game. He's right. He knows what he's good at and what he isn't. And so he works at other things to still be able to be impactful. Right.
Well, and look at it this way, you know, anybody can laugh and you can say Jimmy can't whatever. And at the end of the night, Jimmy's sitting at 26-7-5.
And if he really, really wanted to, Jimmy can't shoot. Okay, put Jimmy in the gym for an entire summer working on nothing but his shot. I bet you Jimmy Butler comes out and could be torching people. Like, there's nothing that he actually can't do. It's just things that he doesn't do well.
Right.
Yet. Or now. Or, you know, I don't know.
No, I'm laughing because Shmeen this morning in the chat says, while asking a question, G will mix in four of his different takes. Quite the ride. That's exactly what happens. It's like I'm mixing the drink and I spill it and I give it to you and I'm like, here you go.
Listen, and we here garnish. With you. Smithin. Yeah, right. Hey, Smithin.
It's a take cocktail. So like for the whole season, Jimmy's shooting 38% from mid-range. Last 10 games, 60%. Which again, it's kind of the revving up playing. And I think these last 10 games, I think for the most part, it hasn't been put on the Cape Jimmy.
Nope.
I think it's been mostly, you know, kind of pick my spots. Let me, you know, okay, we need a little run in the third. I got you. But it's not, you know, that Jimmy where it's like, okay, well, if he's not doing everything, then what the fuck is going on?
Right.
Yeah. And I think that's positive for him and for the team. And, you know,
I think it's a big positive for Bam because it's allowing Bam to move a little bit more freely on the floor. And he's not looking as hesitant to take those shots. Now he's getting it. He's making a move. He's letting it fly. I wish he'd like do it a little sooner in the game.
Yes.
Because he's so focused on getting everyone else involved. And, you know, most nights, no one's guarding Bam. There is no one that can guard Bam straight up on the floor. He's quicker than just about everybody on the floor, but you know, he's that guy. He's looking to get everybody else involved. And by the third quarter, he starts to come on. But I think they need a little bit more from him in that first quarter.
They do. And to your point, like not only is he not being guarded, you know, in you know, close proximity when he's moving, like when he's rolling, he's still not being touched, but he's moving so mechanical sometimes, like the way that he mechanically runs the, you know, the DHOs. He'll mechanically set a screen. And then when he does, you know, dive to the rim, that's all that he's thinking about. Like there are so many times where he can just like half roll and just settle into like that gap in the zone. Fucking Precious does it a lot too. Like, and these are the types of things that kind of, I don't feel like, you know, as fans asking more of Bam. For me personally, it's stuff like this. Like, I'm not asking you necessarily to go down and bang more all the time. I do want you to get a post game, but even in the way that you already have your game and, you know, hit your jump shots, look for more chances where you have them to take them. And I think, you know, they're plentiful. Mm-hmm.
So, but what is this, year three for Bam?
Yeah.
Yes.
Let's
keep that in perspective.
Let's keep that in perspective. And let's also keep it like he feels. I like Siobhan, you say the word mechanical. And I feel like it's programmed, right? Like he's programmed to do these things. And I think, and remember early on in his Heat tenure, he was kept on, I don't want to say leash, but they were very conservative with how they used him.
Right.
And we knew the ball skills, right? Like we saw flashes of the ball skill, but his rookie year, like it was very strictly, Bam, you are going to screen up top and roll. And that's what your role is today. And, you know, I think somebody tweeted out the other day, like Jokic was averaging like 15 points or something like the year before he went to the Western Conference Finals. Right. So let's not, you know, let's not like lose our kind of perspective with him. He's on the rise. He's probably not going to make an all NBA team this year. It might make an all defense team. But the fact that he's in these conversations so young in a league that has Embiid, Anthony Davis, you know, Jokic, you know, even Rudy.
Spo has to look to open it up a little bit for him.
Yeah, because it's not lost perspective. If I know you can shoot it, I want you to shoot it. It's it's we see greatness.
Yeah,
we know it's there, and it's okay for him to wave Duncan off and take the shot. It's okay. Like he has earned that right to say I'm taking the shot, like he has, especially like the way he carried us in that Boston series
and the way that he's been paid.
Yes. The way he's been playing and the way he's been paid, he's earned
it or not. Right.
So I don't think it's lost perspective. I just think that do it now. So we don't have to worry about it. Game four, round one, do it now. Just take it. No, I like hit or miss. I like seeing him take those open shots. Yep. I do because his touch is
it's immaculate. It's phenomenal. Yes.
It's feathery.
It's almost too feathery.
Yes.
It pissed me off sometimes. It's so feathery.
How many guys his size can legit guard him one-on-one? Is it like AD and I don't know.
Like LeBron. Like,
maybe LeBron, and is that it? Like legit. Like if Bam is like an actualized person that comes to
AD, LeBron, maybe Kevin.
I don't think there's five people in the league.
Oh, he'll roll KD. Yeah. KD's not strong enough. Like Bam has like the physical.
If he uses his physical tools,
yes, see.
Because like Embiid's not quick
enough. He has to put it all together. He got to put it all together. That's what I'm saying. He has
quick enough.
He has all the things. Oh, he lights Rudy up.
Yeah.
I love, listen, I know that we all are Rudy Gobert slanders. I love when somebody gets him in space and he looks ridiculous. Chris Paul did it at that Phoenix Utah game, and I know how much we love our CP3. I love it. I love that shit so much. CP3's like, where is he?
The Dallas
game. Give me his ass.
The Dallas game. The last time that they played Dallas, the dude Dorian Finney-Smith.
Oh,
yeah. He's from here. He's from the area. Shout out his sister. And his
he's
family.
Really good.
Shout out my.
He's been huge for Dallas.
He has been. So he had like his career high against them the other day, and his quote was, "Oh, I knew I was going to get off when they put Rudy on me." Like this man told the press that I knew I was going to have a career night when they put the depoy on me. Like people are torching Rudy. I love it.
I don't think anybody likes him.
I don't think so either.
I don't know, man. He's good. Like he's a very good defender, but he's flawed.
And because he can be schemed off the floor.
Yes.
You know, and he's their best defensive player. So if your best defensive player can be schemed off the floor, that's a problem. Whereas Bam, you can never scheme him off the floor because he's guarding 1 through 5.
Yeah.
And what he does on offense, and because sometimes how you scheme Rudy is you just, you know, you make him an ineffective offensive player and Bam, you know, he can't. He's too good.
Bam makes himself ineffective.
Right.
He's his own worst enemy.
He is. Yeah. He is.
Yeah, get out of his head.
So, G, go ahead and hit me with some precious talk.
Ooh. I'm excited for this because, and I tweeted out a video on my Twitter account, @GNavas103. I was proud of him. I thought he did a great job tracking the guards on switches and on traps. I think, you know, it's tough for a young guy, especially as a big in this league, because When you're a big man, you're responsible, especially in the Heat defense, you're responsible for a lot.
Yep.
You're responsible because you are going to switch or you're going to trap and you need to have that first rotation set. You need to anticipate really well. And then you got to make sure that you get back to rebound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a lot if you're a young guy and a lot if you're a young, undersized guy. And in the Heat offense, you're asked to do a lot as well. You're asked to trigger almost every set starts with a handoff or some down screen or like all this air poster nonsense triggered by a big man for the most part up top in that little. Right. So all eyes on you. And it's tough. And he's not looked good. Right. And that's well documented. I thought yesterday was a very interesting choice by going Precious over Bealicia because Jimmy and Bealicia, as I've tweeted out, their offense is like through the roof. They have like, what is it, a 140 offensive rating when they play together, which is just batshit crazy because Jimmy plus stretch big equals profit.
Yeah.
And you know, the defense has been okay. I think that they've mitigated a lot of that by putting really good plus defenders around Bielitsa and kind of hide him as much as he can. But yep. Precious got the nod yesterday. A quicker Blazer team with a lot of guards that can really hurt you off the dribble. And they trusted him to switch and to trap. And I don't know if this is going to earn Precious a spot back in the rotation, but I do think that if he's going to play well, the best version of themselves is him backing a Bam over Bielitsa. And I don't know how you guys feel, but as a guy who can dive to the rim, who's a very active defender, and who could help those guards that aren't good defenders because Tyler and Dragic are going to come off the bench, I think that that's the best version of themselves if we get a Precious like that.
You said the best version of himself. You said the best version of himself is if he's backing Bam and not Belly. I can be
Because they're going to use him as a backup five.
He's basically saying because the if you think about it, the guards coming off the bench, they need that help on defense.
Yes. Yeah.
Especially without Vic, and I think that's might have played into it because before.
Yep.
And they had, and which kind of like makes me sad because that Laker game, you kind of saw they were going, okay, let's go Dragic, Hero, Vic, Bielitsa, Jimmy, and let's go three guards, Jimmy and Bielitsa, and let's get cooking. Which I really like that from Spo because they're like, hey, let's get some offense. Let's mash these second units with all we have and let's give the starters and Bam lead to protect. And that sucks that we never got to see that. But without Vic, now all of a sudden, you know, you don't have that luxury of bringing that guard off the bench. So when you get that 1-5 pick and roll, you know, instead of kind of cheating and getting Vic in there, now it's always going to be Dragic or Tyler.
Right. I think it'll be, you know, I'm hoping, you know, I've been saying that Precious hit the wall. You know, he's a rookie. He hit the wall and he's going to have to find a way to crawl through it. But it'll probably be situational with Spo. If we're playing a big lumbering team, then we're going to get some Belly. But if we're playing teams that are quick, that have multiple guards like Portland, then, you know, we'll get some Precious, which I'm not mad at if Spo's going to be situational about it. But you want, you know, on either night, you want both of them to be playing well because you're going to need both of them to. And I'm not just talking about scoring, but I mean just rebounding, helping with the defense, like you said, trapping, getting down the court. That's another thing, because sometimes we look a little slow back on defense.
A lot.
We look slow in transition offense.
They don't have fast guys. No. Vic was like one of their faster dudes. Like they don't have zip.
Yo, we look like a grade school team running like that fast break where it's like nobody runs down the middle, nobody runs to the corners. It's just like a bunch of people running.
You know, like Tiff, that's a good point. Like, so Jimmy is molasses, right? Jimmy moves at Jimmy's in Jimmy land.
Right.
Jimmy truly moves. Did you see the video of Jimmy in the Formula One car?
Yeah.
It's if you haven't seen it, chat, go to, by the way, shout out to Curtis Hero. He's given a couple gifted subs. We love and appreciate that. Jimmy is in this Formula One car and it's on the Formula One official Twitter account. And Jimmy, this guy is like this professional race driver, is driving fast and Jimmy is losing his shit as I feel like any of us would. It's a scary way. Jimmy doesn't move fast in life. Jimmy moves slow. Dragic, you know,
can't move fast.
Right.
Aged out of quickness. I think Kendrick's a mover. Tyler, white guy, not fast mover. Duncan, you know, Duncan moves side to side quickly. You know, not
Duncan runs in place.
You know, they don't got quick dudes. Yeah. Bam, you know, it would be fun one day to see Bam play with quick dudes, but as of right now, they don't got quick dudes. You know, even the big three teams, I know that those teams like got out to run a lot, but for the most part, I mean they were like bottom of the league in pace because you know, it's Dwayne and LeBron.
Yeah.
They're like, nah, man, we're gonna work this ball up top. Kind of take a couple breathers. And Dwayne, you know, led the league in sweat. So he needed to, you know, kind of catch his breath a lot. I love you, Dwayne.
I think to your point about Precious and Belly, right? I don't read much into Spo going with Precious last night over Belly at all. I think Tiff's right that you know, situational, you know, matchups are going to dictate for the most part which big and for who they're subbing in for. Portland smaller, quick, you know, not a you know, a good game for Belly defensively, right? So, and like you said, we need to know that both of them can do the things that they're being asked to do against the lineups that they're asked to do them, so that, you know, come playoff time, you know, we're not unsure or, you know, anything like that. So, and like you said, they need to be able to do it at the same time, but it's a tough stretch coming up, or like this, you know, this week is tough. I don't read much into Precious.
Tough for all of us.
It's tough for all of us. Right. I think, you know, that's maybe some Spo maybe trying to pace his lineups too, you know, trying to, you know, look ahead and make sure he's having guys fresh. There'll be, don't we have Denver this, there'll be time for, you know, for Belly to play. So
yeah. I don't know. Do you think that Precious gets it against Phoenix?
Oh, Precious is playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Somebody's listen, Aiden's running up and down the court like a gazelle.
That's a gazelle.
They made Aiden look like Shaq. It was crazy. I was so
Chris Paul's making Aiden look like Shaq. That's Chris a point Paul guard, is doing baby.
Just imagine if we had like a young Chris Paul throwing those lobs to Bam.
I'll take an old Chris Paul.
I'll take State Farm Uncle Chris Cliff, Paul right
nigga,
now.
What? Uncle Cliff?
Almost, I would help them. Their second most used action is Tyler Hero pick and roll. Imagine if that's all CP3. Offense fixed.
Yeah.
Damn, I don't even want to think
about
that.
God, by the way.
I know.
My goodness gracious.
What?
His mid-range has been fucking unreal.
Who,
like
Chris's?
All year long. Yeah, and the way late in games, when he misses one, I'm surprised.
It's that release point.
You can't speed him up.
Yep.
He gets to any spot he wants to at any time on any defender. Sometimes the game passes people by, and sometimes you get real old and your game just becomes beautiful. His game is old man beautiful right now.
When he, like the game has slowed down for him forever ago. And so, yeah, you can't, no, for real. When
Wake Forest, it was slow for him.
Yeah, like Bam, a lot of his rawness, the game hasn't slowed down for Bam yet. Chris Paul, like you said, masterful. Phoenix is going to be a good game, I think, but I know Precious is playing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Precious is playing. He has to be able to move. Belly going to get blended.
Yeah.
Now, they might want to get Aiden out of the paint, because Aiden also looked like Gobert out there against them. He really affected a lot. And that, to me, that was the most important. And we've had our conversations about what we think of DeAndre Aiden. I know, but he really impressed me that game in terms of his rim defense.
I like him. I mean, he's still raw, too.
I
like him. He's raw. He just goes out there. He tries hard. He plays hard.
He also looks like he's 40.
He does. He got old man face.
Yeah.
Like, I was like, damn, you're younger than me.
It's the cheeks.
He looks like he's very stressed about his budget all the time.
No, I think that happened when he said, "We signed who? Chris Paul." Damn. Now I got to go to the gym every day.
He must be hard. I mean, I think like Chris and Jimmy are probably like you probably love playing with them, but they're also like a pain in the ass because you're like, damn, I'm going to be held accountable for everything I lift. All right, real quick, because we're running out of time. A lot of people asking about Deadman. That could be a night. I think, and I said this on Twitter, I think that they're going to kind of wait for Deadman to get in heat shape.
Right.
I don't think there's any rush. I think they have bodies right now. They have their three centers, and I don't think that there's going to be any rush to get an old guy out into the court. They're going to get him in shape. Is he with the team right now? Is he traveling with them?
Yeah. I saw him like in the Portland shoot around photos.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's wait and see on him until, you know, he's 100% like ready. You know how the Heat are. I wanted to close the show with Duncan. And then we talked a little bit about him at the top, but I really want to give him credit on both ends of the floor. And yesterday against Portland, their rotations were immaculate. Credit to him. And sometimes, like, he's going to get picked on. You know, guys like LeBron and Giannis and KD, and it's going to look ugly in the playoffs. And they're going to hunt him, and they're going to put him in isolation, and he's going to look like shit. And we all can't get mad, although he did put the clamps on Melo last night. I know you guys saw that. And I love Mimo, but that was funny. I think his defense has been legit solid. Like, he's not you know, there are matchups that are going to fucking ruin him. But I think rotationally, positionally, and even on ball, I think he's held up. The shooting is back. He's hit at least three threes in every game since the deadline. Just like, I think we're at like 9 or 10 games since then.
Yeah.
He's been lights out on offense. Lights fucking out. And Tiff, you had said something a while ago that I thought about a lot. And you said, Duncan's good, but, you know, there'll be points where like a quarter and a half will go by and he doesn't hit a shot. But he'll like end of the game with like four threes. And you're just like, oh, look, good game. 60% shooting with, you know, whatever. I think recently that's changed.
It has.
And I think he's been, you know, it's not, sometimes it's like those home run hits, but it's very steady what mm-hmm. he does. And I think that has been absolutely huge for them. And they don't go in these huge droughts of offense because yep. he'll hit a shot and yep. he'll be like, okay, we have a little life.
Right.
It's not, we're not losing water on right. the boat.
And that's what I was saying to you. I was saying, like, people would say, oh, he had 15 points. I said, but there was a whole 20 minutes there where he didn't even take a shot.
Yeah.
So it's like I think he also figured it out. Like, there's no rush. It's like, get into your rhythm and just do what you do best, you know? Do what you do best. So you get your shots up, and apparently now he's like the best cutter on the team because he's starting to look like it.
Yep.
You know, it's do what you do best. It was never that I was just kind of like, oh, he's trash, he's this, he's that. But guess what? All he was doing was shooting. That's all he was doing last year, was shooting. And it's like, at some point, everything catches up to everybody. You've got to add things to your game. And he, more so than anyone on this team, has taken the biggest leap this season.
Absolutely. By far.
That cutting he's added, his passing. I didn't know he could dribble. He's dribbling.
I know he could dunk.
He's dunking baseline. Exact dunking. So right. It's
you know, I tweeted this out of the Heatbeat account. I forgot that in Wade's last game, he threw Duncan the lob that Duncan threw down. I was like, I don't remember that shit at all.
Yeah. No, he's been, like I said, he's the most Skinny improved Duncan. Player on this team. Like, hands down, he's the most improved player on this team. And his defense has picked up tremendously, and he just tries on defense. Yeah. Sometimes it's like, all right, yes, you're not stronger than LeBron. You're not quicker than LeBron. But damn, just try. Yeah. That's all you got to do. Move your feet. That's it.
I don't mind the foul rate. I don't mind it. Because I think sometimes it gets frustrating because you're just like, motherfucker, stop fouling.
No.
And a lot of times they're like early fouls and you're just like, God damn it. Like, you're on a roll.
Yeah.
But to me, that just shows me that he's trying to be physical and get in guys' jerseys. And you know what? I don't mind that.
Yep. I think.
Go ahead. Sean.
Go ahead. No, finish.
No. Go ahead.
For me, I think there have been like little milestones, you know, along this season for me, that I think, you know, have led or played like significant, you know, reasons to where we are now. I put a lot of stock in Spo moving Tyler to the bench for it freeing up Tyler, but for me, it also freed up Duncan. Mm-hmm. I don't think he has to worry about, you know, not that he was worried about Tyler's spacing, but like, you know, you have another dynamic scorer or shooter. You kind of feel that like angst and wanting to like not overshoot, not overpass. Like, damn, I took 6 shots. He only took 2. But like just having Tyler and Duncan be able to occupy different space has given them mm-hmm. both more space to occupy. And so I think that's taken, you know, some, it's added to their game, but it's taken some, I think maybe for Duncan off mentally. And so, yeah, we've seen, okay, boom. So that was the first milestone for me, right? And then the first streak, when we started to cut more and started to, you know, screen across the baseline for Kelly and for Duncan and the diagonal back screens, you know, up the lane. When we started to do more of those things, I think you saw Duncan's, you know, offense maybe take another leap. And then, yeah, him just working on his self. Mm-hmm. adding to his game. It's difficult to add. Well, I don't know. If you are committed to it, it isn't to add on to your game in season and to get better at things. If you commit to it and you want to do it, it's not hard. And he's been such a bright spot for me personally. His defense, like you said, his positional defense has been much better. His effort has been good. So
rebounding.
Rebounding. He understands that there's going to be a lot of times that he doesn't get the rebound, but if he can keep the dude near him from getting it, you know, that's an assisted rebound. Like, those things help. So he's,
I think, recognizing when Bam is boxing out and realizing that he needs to get to the ball.
Yes.
I need Bam to recognize that he needs to get to. If Bam watch another rebound hit the floor,
drop in front of him,
just bounce. Like, it's reading the letters on the bottom of the screen, just roll by him. Like, oh my God, Idris, hit the ball.
I think so many of their turnovers were a product of them not getting to the ball, them waiting for the ball. Which is it feels like some weird dumbass entitlement that they had. I don't know. They're a fucking weird team. Like, they had a little bit of, I don't know. I'm glad that they got that shit out of them. They fixed that problem. But I'm sorry to cut you off, but I just.
You find out what you mean too by that little weird ass entitlement. Like, no, go get, like, take the extra, meet the pass. Like, what are you doing? Go stop letting just.
Please.
Come here, ball. No, go get the ball. Other people want that same ball.
That was a pet peeve of mine all season that just, I'm just very glad that they fixed. And as a specialist, I think that, and I forgot who said this. It might have been Lowe. It might have been Kevin Arnovitz. I don't remember who said this last season, but they said what the Heat do with guys is they don't just, you know, maybe some teams will take Duncan Robinson in and be like, okay, you can shoot. We are going to make you, that's all you're going to do, right? You are an A shooter and we're going to keep you as an A shooter and we're going to kind of help around you. And what the Heat do is they take an A shooter and make them an A plus shooter, and then they round out his game. Right. They don't put the cart before the horse. They're like, this is what your specialty is, and we are going to hone it, we are going to nurture it, and we are going to make it better. And we have a lot of history of them doing this. And then credit to Duncan for kind of improving after that. For kind of filling out the game. He's never going to be an off the dribble threat. Like, a legitimate, right? He's going to kind of find a spot where they overplay him like hell, which I think he's shown. That he'll attack that space when there helps everywhere and everyone's scrambled.
Backdoor cutting is great.
Right.
The pocket pass is
the overplay.
He got to get a little better at that. I think Tyler too. There was a play yesterday in the Blazer game where they were running a side pick and roll, and Bam kind of got in, right? He had an advantage. And Tyler noticed it as soon as the window closed. And then they kind of had to reset the offense. And, like, for me, if you're a young guard, that's kind of where the next kind of progression of your improvement goes. It's like not just anticipating, but like kind of seeing that vision. And once that starts clicking, I think that's just going to help Bam tremendously because he's such a relentless screener and mover. We don't talk about how much Bam moves off the ball. We talk about a lot of stuff, but, you know, Duncan and Bam off the ball. And Jimmy, too. And Tyler. I mean, they're just like as a team, relentless off-ball movers.
Yeah. I still need Bam to settle into those soft spots sometimes.
Oh, 100%. Like,
it's coming.
Totally.
Like,
Yeah. And I think so. Like you said, Tyler and Duncan's progression is maybe not necessarily ball handlers, but it's like play recognizers, maybe.
Right.
Like seeing that there are options in the other things.
They're like I said, there's a lot of good with this team. There's a lot of bad. They're very strange. They have, you know, again, it's a grab bag of who's going to help. But I do think that, you know, following that Lakers loss, I call it a loss. Following that Lakers win. And that's kind of we're about to close out. But, you know, I was down on them. I was down on them. And it felt good to see them, you know, after a performance that was a little so-so. That they come back and they have a really good game against a Blazer team. Granted, the second night of a back-to-back, but it doesn't matter. They beat a good team on the road when last year they were dog shit on the road. And they're going to play Phoenix again on the second night of a back-to-back. And, you know, it doesn't matter because we're going to hold them to the standard. They lost. They got their ass kicked by Charlotte when Charlotte was on. You know what I mean? So as long as these wins pile up, you know, the Eastern Conference is getting tough. Atlanta's looks to be legit. Like, they are a legit team under Nate McMillan. That Trae Young has suddenly found his floater again, and that offense is humming. Clint Capella is a legit, like, all defensive team candidate. He has been phenomenal for them. And Gallinari, after a really weird start to the season, has been awesome, lights out. Charlotte has not slowed down. We keep saying every show, well, eventually Charlotte has to fall off. They don't. And those, that team plays with an edge that,
yes, you know, they do.
I think
it's fun to play. Watch.
Yeah.
They're amazing. And those Bridges kids, I fucking love them. They're
came
awesome.
From back here. Oh my
just, God. Yeah.
Detonated on.
Yeah.
The Celtics have quietly put together a 7 or an 8-2 stretch. Mm-hmm. Right. So all these teams, you know, have really, you know, kicked into high gear.
Yeah.
And the Heat, you know, they got this win.
It's that time.
They have a, yeah. So yeah. It's going to be a fun way to close out the season. Siobhan, did you want to get into anything before we head out?
Oh, no, it's that time. it's time to ramp up. And right. it's so weird. Like the Blazers game never felt like any type of worry to me. Even I know they didn't play well against LA, but they won. And I think that is important that they won. Those are one of those games where you get that win, like let's say in the playoffs, and you say, we got this win. We throwing this tape away. We're done with that. We got the win, right, but we're done with that. And we move on. So I'm excited. I hope that they can piece it together. And we'll see, you know, what that cape feels like on Jimmy.
Right. Listen, you win by one, you win by 20.
17. It's still free throws.
You beat whoever's in front of you and you move on. That's it.
They blew out a team and it's been a while. I mean, they like kicked the Blazers ass, thoroughly kicked the Blazers ass. Yeah, and it felt good to kick a team's ass. It's been a while. Listen, I like it. I like it. I hope we get more of that. If you are a podcast listener, I urge you again to check out the Twitch feed. If you are a YouTube listener, because I don't talk about the YouTube viewership a lot. You know, I love you. Subscribe to the channel if you're not. It helps us a lot. I don't think you understand how much work goes into this. This is, none of this is our full-time job, but I think we all treat it with a love and respect as if it was, especially during this hell week of West Coast games. A subscription on the YouTube channel goes a long way. To our Twitch subs, we love you. If you hit follow on Twitch, that helps us a lot as well. And if you are a YouTube listener and you want to listen to the pod feed, let's say you're driving and you want to, you know, you're at the gym or whatever, you want to take somewhere else, we are on Spotify. We are on, Apple Pod and all that stuff. So check us out, Miami Heat Beat over there, part of the Blue Wire Network. We are having lots of fun this season. This has been really great for us. If you've been following Heat Beat, we've been around for 8 years and it's been really, really cool to kind of see what we've been doing this year and all our different platforms. So make sure that you're following us all there, that you listen the way that's most convenient to you. We want to give you as many options as you can. Thanks to chat. We love you. Thanks to everybody. Check out our Patreon page, patreon.com/MiamiHeatBeat. We are planning the next watch party. I think we might do it for next week. I was going to do it this week for the West Coast games, but I didn't want to kill y'all. So I'm trying to be nice to our patrons. We're going to set up our mailbag podcast next week as well. So if you want to kind of get in on that, where you guys, the patrons, pick the topics. You guys literally get to tell us what we talk about. So get in on that. And we're going to do 2 locker room sessions this week. I know we promised one yesterday, but it was a really late night. Come on, give us a break. We're going to do locker room on Wednesday following the game and on Thursday following the game. So Wednesday and Thursday morning, we're going to be live on locker room at 10 a.m. And if you haven't done that so far, it's only for iOS. It's only for iOS. So sorry for Android users. Your app is coming on the way.
You mentioned too.
Yeah. get in on that. It's fun. You can talk to us. You can get in, give us takes. You can, you know, all you people in chat. Listen, Jeffrey saying that my takes are bad. Well, get in a locker room and tell me there. Like, you tell me my takes are bad. I give all the same bad takes over there. So you can get in, talk to us. It's really fun. It's usually Tiff, Alf, and I, Siobhan. You know, we vibe in the morning, have our coffee. So enjoy us there. And I'm sorry for all this plugging, but you know, I want to let y'all in on all the offerings. We love y'all. And
the merch is back up, right?
The merch is back up. Get your drip drop shirt, courtesy of the designer extraordinaire Siobhan and Moose's incredible catchphrase. So check out all the offerings, store.miamiheatbeat.com. And we have tons of new surprises coming up soon. So keep on our platforms. Mm-hmm.